When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Skims or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and great marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. It's home of Shop Pay, the number one checkout in the world. You can use it to boost conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going through to checkout. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Allbirds uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/income.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Eric Duran and Eric Dupree. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Eric Duran was born in the mid-1980s and was raised in the Bronx, New York. In 2010, he became a police officer with the New York City Police Department. Eventually, he rose to the rank of sergeant and worked in a tactical response unit called the Narcotics Bureau Bronx, or NBBX. The other key player in this story is Eric Daniel Dupree. He was born in the early 1990s in Puerto Rico and moved to New York City when he was 18 years old. In 2014, he became romantically involved with a woman and they went on to have two children. Eric Dupree had dreams of being a paramedic, but he did not speak English very well. He worked as an Uber delivery driver and as an alleged drug dealer. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On August 23, 2023, Sergeant Eric Duran was with other officers from the NBBX Tactical Response Unit running a buy-and-bust operation in the Bronx, New York. Over the course of 3 hours that afternoon, they arrested at least five people suspected of drug dealing and placed them in a prisoner van. At this point, the officers made an unplanned stop at a small park in the West Bronx, hoping to make one last arrest for the day. The park was 665 feet long and 36 feet wide, running along the east side of Aqueduct Avenue between 190th Street and 192nd Street. There were apartment buildings both to the west and to the east of Aqueduct Avenue and the park. Referring to this narrow strip of land as a park seems a little generous. It looked more like a median strip along a highway for motorists who like to litter. The police targeted this park because it was well known for drug dealing activity. One detective said it was almost like an open-air market for drugs. At about 5 p.m., several officers wearing plain clothes positioned themselves for the narcotics operation. An undercover detective went into the park. She was hoping to buy drugs as part of the sting. Another detective, named Nelson Nin, kept a careful watch over her from about 30 feet away. Nelson's position in the operation was referred to as the ghost. He was silently waiting in the background for the drug purchase to happen. The detective who was trying to buy the drugs targeted 30-year-old Eric Dupree. Once Nelson saw Eric Dupree give the detective vials containing $20 worth of cocaine, he directed the other officers to move in. Sergeant Eric Duran and two other officers drove onto Aqueduct Avenue and started walking north toward Eric Dupree from 190th Street. Two more officers approached walking south from 192nd Street. Eric Dupree was boxed in. At this point, he noticed what was happening and waved to a man on a motorbike. This man was also a drug dealer. Eric Dupree tossed a black fanny pack, which was filled with cash, into a trash can. He climbed on the motorbike and made his way north toward 192nd Street. The man who had originally been on the motorbike walked south toward 190th Street. Sergeant Eric Duran and the two officers with him approached this man and started to put handcuffs on him. Nelson Nin said, "That's not him. That's not him. He's on the scooter." Nelson was referring to Eric Dupree. The other two officers, the ones who approached from 192nd Street, tried to cut him off. In response, Eric Dupree drove onto the sidewalk going south toward 190th Street. He was driving between 24 and 30 miles per hour and headed straight toward Sergeant Eric Duran the two officers with him, and a female bystander. The sergeant approached a picnic table where women were eating tacos. The women had a red igloo cooler, which was filled with ice, soda, juice, and water. The sergeant grabbed the cooler and threw it at Eric Dupree. The cooler struck Eric Dupree on his shoulder, which led him to lose control of the motorbike. He drove off the sidewalk and slammed into a tree and a parked Jeep SUV. Eric Dupree sustained a severe head injury and died. He was not wearing a helmet. Sergeant Eric Duran was arrested and charged with second-degree manslaughter. The state was accusing him of demonstrating a reckless disregard of a substantial risk of death. He waived his right to a jury trial, opting instead for a bench trial. His fate would be decided by a judge. On February 6, 2026, Eric Duran was found guilty of second-degree manslaughter. The judge believed that the cooler was thrown out of anger, not in the defense of others. He also maintained the unusual position that there was no urgency to catch alleged criminal offenders, saying, quote, "Suspects sometimes get away and can be captured later. He could have been captured on a different day," unquote. On April 9, 2026, Eric Duran was sentenced to 3 to 9 years in prison. He had been facing a maximum sentence of 15 years in prison, but many people thought he would not be given any prison time. In all likelihood, he will be released after serving somewhere between 3 and 5 years. Now moving to my analysis. Eric Duran maintains his innocence, and he has a large number of supporters. They argue that he was trying to defend innocent people who were standing in the path of the motorbike when he threw the cooler at Eric Dupree. The state of New York, of course, disagrees, arguing that Eric Duran threw the cooler in order to make an arrest. He was not defending anyone. This brings me to the question, is Eric Duran guilty of second-degree manslaughter? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that he is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. Eric Duran threw an igloo cooler full of ice and beverages at Eric Dupree. This caused Eric Dupree to lose control of his motorbike, crash, and die. That's pretty much it for the inculpatory factors. Moving to the exculpatory factors, Eric Dupree allegedly sold drugs to an undercover police officer. This would make him a criminal. When he noticed the police were closing in to arrest him, he climbed on the motorbike in an effort to escape. He was not wearing a helmet, he drove on the sidewalk, and his speed was excessive. Again, the motorbike was traveling 24 to 30 miles per hour. Farther south, on the same sidewalk, there were three people who found themselves in danger from this reckless behavior: a female bystander and two police officers. One of these officers testified that the motorbike was coming right at him. Eric Duran believed that Eric Dupree intended on ramming the motorbike into the officers, saying, quote, "I thought he was going to kill my guys. He was going so fast. You do not come at cops when you were trying to get away from them," unquote. There was not a lot of time to make a decision in the situation. Eric Duran said, quote, "He was going to crash into us. All I had time for was to try again to stop or to try to get him to change directions," unquote. An expert testified that the motorbike was going to slam into people based on its speed and direction. Eric Duran did not use force that would normally lead to death. For instance, he did not retrieve his service pistol and fire. Instead, he picked up an igloo cooler and hit Eric Dupree on the shoulder. Plastic coolers are generally not considered to be dangerous, even when loaded with ice and beverages. For example, you rarely hear of an incident where a police officer justifies deadly force by saying, "The suspect charged at me with a 25-quart cooler. I had no choice but to shoot. I was not about to get hit with that thing. It can hold 41 cans. 41. Similarly, there are no criminal statutes that involve coolers, such as assault with intent to chill, aggravated refrigeration, using a cooling apparatus in furtherance of a felony, battery with an insulated container, criminal use of a picnic accessory, or a conspiracy to keep beverages slightly colder than room temperature. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Eric Duran was guilty of second-degree manslaughter? In my opinion, no. Eric Duran was not guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, and not guilty in reality. He did not exhibit a conscious disregard of a substantial and unjustifiable risk. Rather, he acted in defense of others. His tactical decision was certainly unwise, but it did not represent criminal recklessness. Furthermore, it was not reasonably foreseeable that throwing a cooler would kill someone. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Eric Dupree was a drug dealer who had no interest in going to prison. He was willing to put other people in danger to escape. When he operated the motorbike at excessive speeds on the sidewalk, he took Sergeant Eric Duran by surprise. The sergeant realized that the motorbike was headed toward innocent people. After seeing the red cooler on a nearby picnic table, he impulsively picked it up and threw it. This was not the best tactic, but he only had a second to decide what to do. Eric Duran did what he felt was necessary under the circumstances. He had no intent to kill anyone. Eric Dupree is the one who created the dangerous situation. Again, not wearing a helmet, speeding on the sidewalk, and driving toward people. He placed himself in a position where he could easily be killed. Eric Duran only found himself in trouble because of the fatality. This is an example of an outcome bias. He was punished because someone died, even though the death was not foreseeable. If throwing the cooler had simply knocked Eric Dupree from the motorbike without serious injury, he would have been arrested and nothing adverse would have happened to Eric Duran. No arrest, no trial, and no conviction. Many police officers are concerned that the prosecution of Eric Duran sets a frightening precedent. In my opinion, this concern is justified. Being a police officer is already a difficult and dangerous job. Now officers have another reason to be worried. If they unintentionally cause someone's death, trying to protect innocent people, they can find themselves in prison. As far as Eric Dupree, the lesson learned from his perspective is how if a person fails to maintain a cooler head, they may eventually find their head smashed by a cooler. Those are my thoughts on the case of Eric Duran and Eric Dupree. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon. Just a reminder, I have several hundred pre-release videos on my Patreon account. These videos are of the same quality as the videos I release to the public. When I put a video in pre-release status, it usually stays that way for several months, if not a year. I will put the link to Patreon in the description for this video.